Get your holiday shopping done early at Macy's one-day sale with deals of the day priced so low you don't need a coupon. Winter is here, so get ready with cold weather essentials $19.99 to $29.99 and cozy boots 40 to 50% off. Then snuggle up with a three-piece comforter set for just $19.99. Plus, get $10 in Macy's money for every $50 spent starting tomorrow at Macy's. For details, visit Macy's.com/Macy's Money. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
As a pro, the last thing you need is to run out of what you need. And time spent waiting on supply runs is money right out of your pocket. The good news is the Home Depot can deliver straight to the job site. That keeps your crews on the job, not the road. And that saves you money, putting time back in your day and savings back where they belong. Delivery options, big, small, right to the job site. Whenever you say, visit homedepot.com/delivery. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. Man, I've got to tell you, we have a jam-packed show for you this week. We've got a preview of Week 14's most important games. Also, we have an interview with Matt Loopy. Matt is the host of the Birds Banter podcast and a contributor to Eagles Nation. The podcast and the website is dedicated to all things Philadelphia Eagles content. We're going to discuss the Eagles game against the Green Bay Packers. Also, Jalen Hurts becoming the starting quarterback for this weekend's game against the Saints, and so much more. So stay tuned for that interview. Also, we've got a preview of Week 14's most important games. That should be fun as well. But also, let's give you a recap of Week 13's most important games in the NFL. Let's start off with the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. That was a key NFC South showdown. It was a close game towards the end, but the Saints would hold on to win. Final score, 21-16. Meanwhile, it started off as a runaway for Cleveland, but Tennessee was able to kind of stay with Cleveland in this contest, but in the end, it was all Browns. Cleveland would beat Tennessee, final score 41-35. An upset in the Pacific Northwest between the New York Giants and the Seattle Seahawks. The Giants' defense and solid running game would propel the G-men to victory. The New York Giants beat the Seattle Seahawks, final score 17-12. Good NFC West showdown between the Los Angeles Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. The Rams go to Arizona to take care of business. The Rams would go on to win, final score 38-28. The Eagles and the Packers, Philly and Green Bay at Lambeau Field. All Aaron Rodgers, all Green Bay. Carson Wentz was benched early in the third quarter. Jalen Hurts wind up getting his first career NFL touchdown pass, but in the end, it was all Packers. Green Bay would beat Philadelphia, final score 30-16. Sunday Night Football was between the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs, a good game in the AFC West, but in the end, Kansas City would hold on to win. Final score, Chiefs 22, Broncos 16. We had Monday afternoon football between the Washington Football Team and the Pittsburgh Steelers. An upset happened. The Pittsburgh Steelers lose their first game of the year as the Washington Football Team would beat Pittsburgh, final score 23-17. And then on Monday Night Football, a tough and physical matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the San Francisco 49ers. Buffalo hangs on to win, final score 34-24. And then on Tuesday night football between the Dallas Cowboys and the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson returns from his COVID-19 diagnosis. Solid performance from him as well as the defense in the running game. Baltimore would go on to beat Dallas, final score 34-17. And that was just a recap of Week 13's most important games in the National Football League. All right, now it's time for my top three storylines. I'm going to start off with the Washington Football Team. But before I start off with the Washington Football Team, these last 2 weeks have been outstanding for the team out of the nation's capital. Here's some highlights.
Running back. Blitz is coming. Smith under pressure going in. So he's got it. Touchdown, Logan Thomas. And Washington, an extra point away from tying it.
A brand new kicker. Here's Roethlisberger. Coming near side. Tipped in the air. And it's intercepted by Washington. John Bostic picked it out of the air.
Sweat knocked it up in the air. Bostic picked it off.
That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports. And, of course, that was Kevin Burkhardt on the call. And I've got to tell you, the Washington football team, they did it. They pulled off the upset of the week, beating the at the time coming into this game, the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. Now there are no more undefeated teams in the National Football League. But this particular first storyline is not about the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's about the Washington football team. With beating Pittsburgh and then on Thanksgiving Day beating the Dallas Cowboys in convincing fashion, I think some teams need to start paying attention to Washington. Yeah, we know they play in the NFC East, which I'll get into a little bit later. But let's give credit to Washington. The quarterback situation, Dwayne Haskins was the starter at the beginning of the year. He was benched for Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen suffers an injury. He's done for the year. And Alex Smith, he's undoubtedly will be the lead comeback player of the year. Alex Smith has played effectively. If anybody that's followed Alex Smith like I have knows that, you know, he takes care of the football. He doesn't throw too many interceptions. He's consistent. You know, he's not going to take too many risks, but he does enough to get the job done. And not just with Alex Smith, but what about this nice running tandem with Peyton Barber, J.D. McKissic, and Antonio Gibson? These three players are playing at a high level right now. Washington, they're running the ball so effectively. And how about the wide receivers playing well? Cam Sims, Steven Sims, Terry McLaurin, and what about the tight end Logan Thomas? Logan Thomas has played very well these last several games. And defensively, Washington's looked great with the rookie Chase Young, Ryan Kerrigan, Montez Sweat's played well. I mean, everybody's played well on that Washington football team. The Giants, for the moment, have the lead in the NFC East, but the division can still be taken. People need to start paying attention to Washington because Washington, they're making noise. They're on a momentum right now. Coach Ron Rivera has coached them very well these last several games. It's going to be interesting how these last several games are going to play out for Washington. They got a big game coming up against San Francisco. That game can go either way. I mean, again, the 49ers, they almost had a chance to come back against the Buffalo Bills. They didn't do so. So Washington, they're riding a high right now. We need to stay tuned for them and pay attention to them. My next storyline is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers lost their first game of the year to the Washington football team. I had Rick Sincere on the program last week, and he said that at the time when Washington was undefeated, he said, at the time when Pittsburgh was undefeated, he said that, yeah, the Steelers are dominant, but they could still be had. And he mentioned the game against Baltimore, where the Ravens almost beat Pittsburgh. Well, this was true to form because now Washington, Pittsburgh did not look crisp against Washington. They haven't really looked crisp in the last maybe 2 weeks of the season. Pittsburgh losing to Washington, that gives Kansas City confidence to possibly take the number one seed from Pittsburgh. That remains to be seen because Pittsburgh's got a tough challenge ahead of them with this next game coming up this weekend against the Buffalo Bills. Injuries have hurt them on the defensive side. Bud Dupree is out for the year. And, you know, James Conner was out for this game, so that hurt them in the running game department. Pittsburgh is still a formidable opponent. I'm just, like my man Rick Sincere said on the program last week, there are some holes. There are some chinks in the armor right now. It looks like they can be had. They were had the last 2 weeks. The week before that, they wound up beating Baltimore, but Washington just played an effective game. And not just with the throws were bad, but Pittsburgh's receivers were not able to hold on to the football. There were easy passes that they missed out on. Deontay Johnson missed some easy passes, failed to make some catches. Juju Smith-Schuster didn't catch the ball well, even missed the consistent Chase Claypool. He missed out on some important catches as well. So the Steelers are going to be at top. They're still going to remain at the top of the AFC. But the question is, will they be number one or will Kansas City win out and take the number one spot from Pittsburgh? Only time will tell in the National Football League in this 2020 NFL season. And for my last storyline, it's going to be the NFC East. The New York Giants, the Washington football team, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Dallas Cowboys. These are all four proud franchises, but they haven't really played with the intensity this year. The records have not been great at all, and it's hard to believe that a team that will win this division will host a home playoff game. They will host a wild card playoff game, only in the NFL, but it will happen. We just don't know where it's going to be played. Now, the Giants pulled off another upset, beating the Seattle Seahawks. Great defense, an effective running game. Daniel Jones, he may be back this weekend. We don't know, but nevertheless, New York has played at a high level the last several weeks. They are running the ball tremendously with Wayne Gallman. And the Giants' defense, they're showing up. They're playing ball. They're major right now. Washington football team, as I mentioned earlier, Alex Smith, he's getting back into old Alex week by week. He's comfortable. The running game has been great defensively. They're handling their business. The Giants in Washington, I would say as far as the division is concerned, they're mirror images of one another. The only thing that really separates them is quarterback play, because when Daniel Jones has been healthy this year, he's put up the numbers and they've had the consistency at the quarterback spot before he suffered the injury. As for the Philadelphia Eagles, we know that the news came down that Carson Wentz is going to be benched. Jalen Hurts will be the starting quarterback for this weekend's game against the New Orleans Saints. So much the long-term aspects, the long-term future at not just at the quarterback position, but for the Eagles, is very cloudy. In the short term, Jalen starts this weekend against the Saints. The rest of the season, we don't know, because the Eagles are still in the thick of things. They still have a chance to win the division. So time will tell with Philly. And as far as Dallas is concerned, Dallas embarrassed on Tuesday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens. So, Dallas is still in it to win it, but unfortunately, you know, they have a lot of high-priced players on their team. The salaries are just ridiculous, man, and then they're just not producing. However, they're in a division that hasn't produced this year. And again, as I said before, any one of these teams can still host a home playoff game in the postseason. How real is that, man? The NFC East, you just got to love it. A division that, when you said the NFC East, Giants, Cowboys, Washington, Philadelphia, man, this was the stuff that dreams were made of. This was just dominant as the old black and blue division back when they had the NFC Central, Bears, Packers, Lions, Vikings. And, it's just hard to believe, man. A once proud division, it can still be a proud division because these are four awesome and four proud franchises, but it's just been a fall from grace. But nevertheless, one of these teams will host a home playoff game. Should be interesting. All right, that takes care of segment number one. Coming up after the break, I have an interview with Matt Loopy from the Birds Banter podcast. The podcast is dedicated to all things Philadelphia Eagles content, and he's also a contributor to Eagles Nation, so that should be fun. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support and more. This week, select Mucinex and Delsym cold relief products are $15.99. Visit CVS or CVS.com today. Restrictions apply. See CVS.com/weeklyad for details.
Finished a load of laundry. Drop the kids off at daycare. Hit the gym for a quick workout. Stop by Mickey D's to grab some breakfast. Got to work before my boss did. And it's only 9 a.m. meal.
There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg or a classic bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit for only $2 each. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
At Vision for Less, it's just the right price. Two pairs of glasses start under $40, and two pairs of progressives start under $80. Using insurance? We accept over 1,000 plans, and using your benefits is as easy as 1, 2, 3. No insurance? No problem. We've got glasses to fit your budget. It's just the right price. Only at Vision for Less. Right glasses, right price. Right now.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-through or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-through or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
Philadelphia, when they played against Green Bay last year, they mixed their tempo up. They went quick. Then they'd slow down and they'd go quick, just like this, get on the ball. And then they'd mix the run and pass out of that. Some screens. Looks like they're trying to go to that a little bit as Hurts comes in the game.
The third consecutive play for Hurts. Throws it deep. And it is caught by Rager, the rookie from TCU. So the first and second round picks collaborate on what is the second biggest play of the game for the Eagles. Goes for 34.
It's a perfect throw, and I actually like this kid. I think they did.
To the end zone. Touchdown. Jalen Hurts' first touchdown pass goes to Greg Ward.
Well, this is outstanding. You have to. 4th and 18. It's the same as like the end of the game where you have one shot from the 20 or 30 yard line. You got to move around and buy time so your receivers can get down the field. And once you do that and get there, now you just look off and what a perfect soft throw, right?
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports, and that audio was from the Philadelphia Eagles and Green Bay Packers game that happened in Week 13. And, of course, you heard the name Jalen Hurts, but you didn't hear the name Carson Wentz in that audio. Yep, the inevitable happened. Carson Wentz was benched, and he won't play in the Eagles' next game against the New Orleans Saints, as Jalen Hurts will be the starting quarterback. And on the program, I have a gentleman that is the host of the Birds Banter podcast, which is dedicated to all things Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to talk about the Packer game and also the Eagles' upcoming game against the Saints and more. Let's welcome the host of the Birds Banter podcast, Matt Loopy. Hello, Matt. How's everything?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So let's get right to it. The Philadelphia Eagles, the struggles continue for them. They had a game at Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I know you've been very specific about the lowlights, a lot of lowlights from this game. But not only, in your opinion, can you not only give the audience what your lowlights were from the game, but also, if you could, you give us the highlights from this game as well?
Absolutely. So as we saw during the game, when the Eagles got out on offense, they just were slow, like every single other game this season. They really didn't have any mojo going. And as the season progresses, in my mind, it isn't a debate anymore about Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts. It's a debate about who is going to give the offense the best opportunity to win a football game. And it was becoming more and more evident during this game that Jalen Hurts was going to be the guy that would bring them to a victory if it were to happen. Jalen Hurts brought them back into this game. If Aaron Jones didn't have that 70-yard touchdown, the Eagles had a legitimate chance of winning this football game after Jalen Hurts threw a touchdown pass to Greg Ward, and Jalen Rager had a phenomenal punt return touchdown. So it showed the lack of talent from Carson Wentz this year. He's struggling. His mindset is not in the right place. He's making poor decisions. And the offense just does not look good and not look talented with him on the field. So Jalen Hurts definitely provides a spark to this offense.
We're going to get more to Carson a little bit later in this interview, but man, you're absolutely right about that. The Eagles offense has been anemic and been very slow this year, and it's been like that for the last several years, really since the year they've won the Super Bowl. But I want to continue to delve deep into the Eagles game against the Packers. Again, you mentioned about when Jalen coming in, Jalen gave them some sort of a spark, some sort of chance to possibly stay in this game. I want to talk just more about this game for a moment. Of course, we know that the lowlights, again, were the offense, but if you could kind of conjure up any other highlights from this game, if you could, what do you think some of those highlights were from this game?
Yeah, I think the defense really started to improve and make a few adjustments. Earlier in the game, Devontae Adams really had his way with Darius Slay. There was a complete breakdown in coverage, which resulted in a Robert Tonyan touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. But further down into the game, especially when Jalen Hurts entered the game, it seemed like the defense was extra motivated. And it seems like every single sport that's out there, when you have some momentum, motivation, the entire team is going to play better. It's like in baseball. You bring in a better pitcher, the offense is going to hit better. Teams roll off of momentum and motivation. So I think Jalen Hurts coming in sparked the defense for a little bit. That was quickly taken away from them when Aaron Jones scored that long touchdown run. But I think on defense, obviously Darius Slay had another rough game. He had a rough game the week before against DK Metcalf, another rough game against Devontae Adams. But I think the defensive line played pretty well. Aaron Rodgers is just so good at escaping pressure, so they couldn't get home to him too many times. But I think the defense made the necessary adjustments. They just weren't good enough to win the football game.
All right, let's delve more now into the Eagles' offense. One of the things that I've seen the Eagles really since the Super Bowl year that they've really have been taking advantage of is the running game. Miles Sanders, throughout the year, he's operated in spurts. Boston Scott, he's operated in spurts. Jordan Howard, well, he's been in and out this year. If you could just kind of give me your take on the Eagles' running game during this 2020 season.
Yeah, it's frustrating, Ed, because, like you said, they have Miles Sanders, one of the top running backs in the entire league, if he is used properly. Statistically, he's top in the league, one of the best in the league at yards per carry. He's up there. If you give him the ball, he is going to produce. However, the Eagles just lack giving him the ball. He had about, I think it was 10 carries against the Packers, didn't have much at all against the Seahawks, and it's not like he's playing bad at all. He's not making mistakes on the football field. He's finding the hole and exploding through it. But the Eagles just want to be a pass-heavy offense, which blows my mind because they have a great running back in Miles Sanders. And on the other hand, if they want to be pass-heavy, Carson Wentz is having the worst football play of his entire career. So it's not like they can rely on Carson to win them football games. Miles Sanders needs to be involved more, especially to take some pressure off the rookie quarterback, Jalen Hurts. But like you said, they have more weapons. Boston Scott is not being utilized as much as he was in 2019. Jordan Howard, they brought him in, elevated him from the practice squad. I did not like seeing him get almost as many carries as Miles Sanders because Sanders is definitely the better running back. And if they want to win more games, they have to keep the ball on the ground because they're one of the best teams running the ball when they do, but they run the ball among one of the least in the entire league.
Yeah, that's always been, I mean, I'll never forget, it's only yesterday that when the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl year, I mean, LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, and you can also add Corey Clement to that list as well. I mean, the Eagles were so on point when running the ball in the running department. Let's continue with more on the offensive side. Receivers, that has been a problem since the Super Bowl year for the Eagles. Alshon Jeffrey has been hurt. DeSean Jackson's been hurt. And it's kind of been like a makeshift, more kind of like a plug-and-play type of situation at the receiver department. Greg Ward Jr. has been substandard. You've had Travis Fulgham, who came out of nowhere in the middle of the year, played well, but he's been unknown these last several games. Then you've also had J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who's been and he's been suspect at times this year, but the tight ends have been really good. Zach Ertz coming back off of IR, but Dallas Goedert's been good, and you can also add Richard Rodgers to the mix this year. What's your take on the receiving core and tight ends for the Eagles?
Right. So you're absolutely right. When you think of the receiving group, you have to include those tight ends because the Eagles love keeping two tight ends on the field, and they do a great job at getting the ball to their tight ends. Right when Jalen Hurts entered the game, he was targeting Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz heavily. So you can see that no matter who's at quarterback, they're always going to be targeting these tight ends and always going to be running through the tight ends in this offense. I think Rager is going to be a phenomenal talent for the Eagles. They're just not utilizing him well enough. You see a guy like Justin Jefferson with the Vikings, who the Eagles passed on, which I was okay with. I liked Rager as a prospect, but they are working to all of Jefferson's strengths in Minnesota. They're moving him around the field. They're getting him the deep ball, which he strives. He did that very well at LSU. Jalen Rager, they're not sending him deep. Pretty much every single route he runs is a deep route, but they're just not getting the ball. Carson Wentz has not targeted him deep in multiple weeks. So the fact that they're not utilizing him, he can be a presence in the run game, some jet sweeps, anything, they're not using him the right way. Alshon Jeffrey should not be on the field. He looks so slow right now. He can still get some separation just because he's so good with his route running, but he is not the same player that he used to be. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is definitely a bust with the Eagles. I doubt he plays another game with them. He's going to be inactive from here on out unless they have some real problems at wide receiver. But I think when you look at the receiving group, it's more of a scheming issue than talent issue. You see the potential in Jalen Rager. You see the potential in Travis Fulgham. The tight ends are phenomenal, but they're not putting points on the board. And I think that comes more on coaching than these receivers producing.
I want to stay with the receivers for a moment. You mentioned Justin Jefferson. The Philadelphia Eagles had a chance to get Justin Jefferson this year. They passed on him. And last year, they had a chance to get DK Metcalf. They passed on him as well. You mentioned that the Eagles did need Jefferson. Are you confident about that? And how do you feel about the Eagles not only not needing Justin Jefferson, but also not needing DK Metcalf as well?
So I'm going to address DK Metcalf first. It frustrates me so much drafting J.J. Arcega-Whiteside when DK Metcalf is on the board. But one thing I always tell people is DK Metcalf went in the last pick of the second round. Even the Seahawks passed on him twice. There are 32 teams in the league who pass on DK Metcalf until he was selected. So he was regarded as a top 10 pick, a phenomenal talent out of Ole Miss. And for whatever reason, he fell down. I think it was more of an injury concern than talent concern. But anyways, it can't fall right on the Eagles. There were other mistakes in that draft. Everybody just loves to point at the Eagles. So I kind of forgot about the whole DK Metcalf saga. It is what it is. He's a phenomenal receiver. I'm just going to appreciate what he's doing in Seattle. With Justin Jefferson, looking at him as a prospect, I thought he was the most pro-ready receiver coming out into the league. He was up there with, you know, CeeDee Lamb at that level. However, at the time, at LSU, he was predominantly a slot receiver, and he would work out of the slot a lot. And at the time, that is not what the Eagles needed. But as you see with Minnesota, he's working a lot from the inside and the outside. He's a boundary receiver as well as a slot receiver. So he's very versatile, and I was wrong about that. A lot of people were wrong about that. Minnesota has done a phenomenal job at integrating him into different roles in their offense. Looking back, that would be a great pick to have Justin Jefferson. But like I said, there's a big coaching issue with this team. It's not so much the talent. Jalen Rager could possibly be producing as much as Justin Jefferson. We would never know. If Jefferson was here in Philly, I don't think he would be having as good of a season. I don't think Carson Wentz could get him the ball. I don't think the offense would scheme to the best of his abilities and get him open. So we have to further evaluate Rager's success and see if he's going to be a better fit, because right now it's just not a fair comparison.
Well, you mentioned about Carson Wentz and him not getting the ball to Justin, or if he was with the Eagles or any of the receivers, he's got to have offensive linemen. And I tell you what, the Eagles, they have been, again, it's similar to the wide receivers. It's been plug and play at the offensive line position. We've had Andre Dillard is on injured reserve. Lane Johnson's been in and out of the lineup this year. He's on injured reserve. And so it's always been a plug and play situation. Jason Peters has been hurt throughout much of the year. He's currently back in the rotation of the offensive line. Jason Kelce has really been the one mainstay on the Eagles' offensive line. Give me your take on the Eagles' offensive line in 2020.
Yeah, I think they have to address it early in the draft. It's never an attractive pick to draft an offensive lineman in the first or second round. People love get in the skill positions. I know the Eagles have holes at wide receiver, cornerback, linebacker, which they can definitely address even in the top 10. However, offensive line is, that's what you want to develop for years to come. You look at their O-line right now, Andre Dillard has not played meaningful football yet. He was bounced around a lot his rookie year. Now he's hurt his second year of the season, can't play. Brandon Brooks has had multiple significant injuries in the past 3 or 4 years, which you have to take that into account. He's getting up there in age. He's getting injured more often. You can't rely on him as the future right guard for the next 5 years. Jason Peters, like you mentioned, his career has to be over after this year. I know we keep saying it almost every single season since they won the Super Bowl, but it's time for them to finally move on from Jason Peters. Lane Johnson, you have to consider him as a possible liability with his injuries as well. He's always been injured. I mean, going even back to 2016, he was suspended 10 games for PED use. So he's been unreliable with the Eagles. He's great when he's on the field and healthy, but he's off the field more often than not. So there's a lot of question marks along the offensive line. I think they definitely need to invest. Jason Kelsey, like you said, their strongest point right now, he's getting up there in age. He has contemplated retirement for the past 2 seasons. So I think you have to bring in some new talent on the draft in the 2021 draft. They have some young guys in Andre Dillard, Jordan Mailata, who can potentially be the tackles of the future, but you have to improve that interior where they are just getting beat up lately.
Yeah, those offensive linemen have taken a beating this year, and so is the defense as well. Let's look at the defense for a moment. Of course, Fletcher Cox, man, is a Pro Bowler, one of the top defensive linemen in the league, and you've got Brandon Graham, followed by Vinny Curry, Derek Barnett, and of course you got Javon Hargrave, and Malik Jackson has been nice this year. So really, that's been the bread and butter of Philadelphia within the last several years, the defensive line. But linebackers and defensive backs, man, last year defensive backs took a pounding for the Eagles. We saw a lot of injuries with Rodney McLeod and Avante Maddox, and now they got with the trade that happened in the offseason with Darius Slay. He's played in spurts this year, but just give me your take on the Eagles' defense as a whole this year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The defensive line is their strength. It's been a strength for multiple years now. They have a scheme where they can start to rotate players and still have some great players there out on the field. I think it was definitely the best their Super Bowl year because their backup defensive line was as good as some starting defensive lines, and that's super rare in the NFL. They've tried to mimic that the past few years, but it gets expensive to try to keep that amount of talent on one positional group. I think we are – you know, there's probably 80% chance that we're going to see a new general manager and new head coach in Philly in 2021. I think these new personalities in the Eagles locker room and front office, they're going to look at this defense and say, yeah, we have a great defensive line, but the linebacker group is awful. The secondary is getting old and not playing well this year. If you look at the secondary in particular, Darius Slay has a lot of money to him. He is getting up there in age. He is not playing like a lockdown corner like he used to be. I mean, and when DK Metcalf and Davante Adams both go for over 100 yards, you have to consider that he is not the lockdown corner that he used to be. He can play well against lower matchups, but these top receivers are getting the best of him. The safety group is not what it used to be without Malcolm Jenkins. Rodney McLeod is getting older. Jalen Mills is more of a short-term solution than a long-term fix. But anyways, I think a new general manager will look at this team going into the draft and say, the linebacker group is thin. The secondary is thin. You have an opportunity in the draft, top 10. Like I said, you could pick an offensive lineman, but there's also going to be a guy on the board like Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, or Patrick Surtain, a cornerback, who can be locked down opposite of Darius Slay. Because once Darius Slay is out of the team in a year or two, you want to make sure you have somebody who can step in and take on that lockdown role that Darius Slay was used to.
Yeah, man, you mentioned Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, Malcolm Jenkins was really the heart and soul of that secondary, and of course with helping the Eagles win the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, man, he really made a difference. And with him going back to New Orleans, he's currently made the difference for that team, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I want to get into Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is right now the franchise quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's hard to believe, but just 3 years ago, Carson Wentz was on pace to winning the league MVP. He was really playing at such a high level, and then he suffers the injury against the Rams, done for the year, and then next thing you know, Nick Foles comes in, and we know how that run ends with the Super Bowl. So Wentz 2 years ago gets the contract extension, and it just seems like he's regressed. He's not playing to his high level. Things have just gotten worse. He's currently, as this interview is airing, he's leading the league in interceptions thrown. So I want to ask you, this is a two-part question. Your first reaction, what was your reaction when Carson first came to Philly? And then my second question is, where do you see Carson going forward with the franchise?
Yeah, absolutely. I talked about this in a podcast I recorded last night, because it's so surreal that, like you said, he was an MVP candidate, and now he's benched. So I took a step back and thought about what my mindset was when he entered the league in 2016. So I talked about how I did think he was going to be a better fit than Jared Goff. I was excited that the Rams took Goff and the Eagles got Carson Wentz to fall right in their lap. So I was very happy with that pick. But at the same time, ever since Donovan McNabb left the Eagles, we've seen Michael Vick, Sam Bradford, Nick Foles, different quarterbacks who came in for a couple of seasons. They did okay, and then they're gone. And I expected that the Eagles were just doomed at this quarterback position. I didn't think they would find a franchise quarterback anytime soon. So they draft him. I'm excited for it. And I went to the season opener in 2016, and I remember I was going to buy a jersey, and I was thinking between Jordan Matthews and Malcolm Jenkins, who, funny enough, they're both not on the team anymore. But then, you know, I had something in my mind blocking me from buying Carson Wentz, because I was just thinking, he's not going to be a franchise quarterback. The Eagles cannot find a franchise quarterback. Nothing against him. It was more against the Eagles and just all the struggle that came with being an Eagles fan for the past years. Ended up buying the jersey. I've been a huge advocate of his ever since. People love to bash him for his injury history, and I don't support that at all. I'm a huge advocate for him over the past couple of seasons, but it's been tough this year. Going into the second part about his future, it doesn't look good. If you give somebody $128 million in a new contract, and all of a sudden a few seasons later he's benched for a rookie, it doesn't look good at all. It's not like they have a Nick Foles, a veteran who can just step in, you know, teach him a little bit. Jalen Hurts can be viewed as some as a, you know, not necessarily a franchise quarterback, but a potential starting quarterback down the road next season. So the fact that they're benching him for a younger guy, with more versatility, more explosiveness, it's troubling to see that Carson Wentz is going to end up in Philly in 2021. I will tell you that if they choose to stay with Jalen Hurts, you need to trade Carson Wentz immediately. You can't have this controversy keep going on. Get him into a situation where he can potentially succeed, because I don't think he's a lost cause in the NFL. I think teams would trade assets for him and be able to flip his career around and get that success again. But if you want to go back to Carson Wentz, if you have that conversation, he's okay with returning to the Eagles, you have to get rid of Jalen Hurts immediately. I don't care if you downgrade, have to trade him for a third-round pick, they select him with a second. If you lose out on that, that's okay. You cannot have Carson Wentz for another year look over his shoulder and see Jalen Hurts, somebody who stepped in for him in 2020 against the Saints at least. You know, he's played against the Packers. He's going to play against the Saints. Who knows what happens for the rest of the season? That's going to be terrible for his confidence. And we have seen how his confidence has been impacted this year. So I don't think he's going to be around here long term. But if Carson Wentz is, then Jalen Hurts has to go. You can't keep both these guys around for the next year.
Yeah, that's always a tough situation. It's similar to what happened with the Foles situation with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles as well. It's a developing situation right there. I want to play devil's advocate for a moment. I want to stay with Carson for a moment. So if he does come back as the quarterback for the 2021 season, and as you mentioned earlier, somehow he lays an egg, and like you said, he's looking over his shoulder, and then Jalen shows us what he can do for the rest of the season and going into 2021. What's the short-term and long-term goals at the quarterback position for Philly, in your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think short-term, you definitely need a new coach, because Doug Peterson has failed to put a good offensive scheme around Carson Wentz. It has definitely regressed ever since the Super Bowl year, and you need some new minds in the front office. I do like Howie Roseman. I think he's done a good job. When you miss on that many draft picks, it's more of a negative about the coaching staff than the front office, because I can't imagine how he's just that bad at his job that he can't hit on draft picks. I think the coaching staff is just failing to develop these players. So if you're going to bring on in a new front office and a new coaching staff, then these new minds, like I said before, they're going to view this team differently. They're going to say, we have a great quarterback in Carson Wentz. We have to build around him, give him all the assets, give him a scheme that will fit the best of his abilities, as opposed to what they're doing in 2020. So short term, you definitely have to make those changes. It might set him back for a year and, you know, keep him out of the playoffs because they're getting adjusted, but it's going to be so important for their future as a team. If they're going to roll with Carson Wentz, like I said, you need to trade Jalen Hurts. I know they want to keep a good backup, but you don't need a second-round pick as a backup quarterback. It's going to be terrible for Carson Wentz. Long-term, Carson Wentz, he's, you know, secure with the contract. If he has another poor season in 2021, then you're going to have to look towards trading him or maybe restructuring his deal. So if you decide to go with Jalen Hurts long-term, you know, use him to the best of your ability, scheme around his strengths. He can be a quarterback, kind of like Dak Prescott, who has a great arm, but he can escape the pocket and make it happen with his feet. So I think Hurts would be exciting, especially with a new coach. They can scheme with him very, very well, much better than what Doug Peterson can do. And he's cheap. You can build around him and try to make a run at it in the next year or two.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely something you have to pay attention to. You know, Jay, like you mentioned, Jalen showed some bright spots in the game against Green Bay. Definitely Carson is one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents. But it's going to be interesting what happens with Philly. And speaking of dynamic quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts will get his first career NFL start against a team that has been – a lot of people say have been one, could be the best, not just in the NFC, but may possibly be the best in the NFL. That is the New Orleans Saints. The Eagles and the Saints have met regularly in the regular season and in the playoffs within the last several years, going back as far as when Michael Vick was the quarterback. So you've got Jalen Hurts representing the Eagles, and in the New Orleans Saints, they have a Jalen Hurts-like Jalen Hurts type quarterback on their roster with Taysom Hill. I mean, Taysom Hill is like the Swiss Army knife. I mean, he's the gift that keeps on giving for the Saints. So with the Eagles preparing for the Saints, it is a home game for Philly, but just give me, I know they say that Drew Brees may be ready to go for this game, but just give me your take on what in the world do the Eagles defense have to do to stop somebody like a Taysom Hill?
Right. So watching Taysom Hill recently, I think he is still underdeveloped as a passer. The Eagles can definitely expose him quite a bit in the passing game, and he's slow to get started. In the first quarter, second quarter, he is not a good quarterback. You know, you can really take advantage of him. And as we have seen in the past couple of weeks, their offense is just not the same. They are not using Alvin Kamara because defenses know that both him and Taysom Hill can run the ball. So they're going to start stacking the box and take away the run and force Taysom Hill to throw the ball. As we've seen, he's been inconsistent with that. He has been a little bit better as the weeks go on, but it's not like he is Drew Brees level and can connect with Michael Thomas 10 times a game and completely destroy a secondary. So I think the Eagles can definitely bring some pressure on Taysom Hill and, you know, try to, you know, bring home like these great defensive linemen that they have, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, get the pressure on him, force him to make it happen himself. Don't rely on some quick dump offs to Michael Thomas, which the Saints love to do. So I think that is definitely huge for them to plan around. I think he is a great athlete. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I'm not really concerned about him too much, but like you said, he's a Swiss Army knife. He's very unpredictable, like Jalen Hurts is. So you never know. You can flush him out of the pocket, but he can break off a run for 20, 30 yards. And unlike many other quarterbacks who are going to run out of bounds, Taysom Hill is fearless. He's going to run over a defender and try to keep the yards going. So he's definitely an interesting player. But I think it's going to be an interesting matchup between him and Hurts. I don't think we're going to see a huge slugfest of them throwing over 300 yards, but they're both dynamic, and the defenses have to be on the balls of their feet and make sure that they're not getting exposed by these dual-threat quarterbacks.
I want to stay with the Saints offense for a moment. You mentioned Alvin Kamara. I think Alvin Kamara right now is a candidate. At least he's my pick for to win the league offensive player of the year, but there's some other great ones as well. But Alvin Kamara, if he doesn't get it done running the ball, he always gets it done receiving. In your opinion, what do the Eagles' defense have to do to somehow contain Alvin?
Yeah, right. I definitely think, like you said, he is a candidate for offensive player of the year. I think bringing in Taysom Hill definitely destroyed his case quite a bit because he has not been what he used to be. If he was still on pace for 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yards rushing, that'd be one of the greatest seasons we've seen from a running back in history. So I feel bad for his situation right now. But like you said, he still has some dynamic playmaking ability. I think the Eagles definitely have to keep an athletic linebacker on him. That's probably going to be Alex Singleton, number 49 on the Eagles, to make sure that he's accounted for at all times. Kind of like what teams do with a quarterback spy, they're going to have to keep almost a running back spy on Alvin Kamara because sometimes he might look like he's staying in the backfield to block, and then he bounces out for a screen, a quick check down. Taysom Hill is going to rely on him heavily in this game if he's under pressure, give some dump offs to Alvin Kamara. He's dynamic. He can make anyone miss. So you have to make sure that you're bringing the pressure and keeping somebody on Alvin Kamara, make sure he's accounted for at all times during this game, because if he gets an open space, it's very hard to take him down. I think the defensive line can handle him in the run game, but like you said, the passing game is going to be questionable because the Eagles have weak linebackers, and you have to make sure you keep somebody that can keep up with him, someone quicker, which is very tough to do.
Again, another mention of about the Saints' offense, Michael Thomas. I mean, Michael Thomas has been the best receiver in the league the last several years. They've got Michael Thomas coming back from injury. Well, he's been back from injury for several weeks. Jared Cook has been a great tight end as well. They also have Roquan Smith and also Marquez Callaway. We mentioned about the Eagles' secondary being very light and being decimated this year. What do the Eagles' defense, what does the Eagles' secondary have to do to try to contain those Saints receivers?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's going to be really tough. And I think the best thing you can do is force Taysom Hill to throw the ball because, as we've seen, he's been inconsistent. And if Drew Brees is playing this football game, I'd be concerned about the Saints putting up 40 points. That's how good their offense is with Brees on the field because he's so accurate with his passes. He can make anybody, you know, look good as a receiver. But with Taysom Hill, I'm less concerned about Michael Thomas in particular. I think this is a great opportunity for Darius Slay to bounce back with a better matchup. He does have a tough one ahead of him with Michael Thomas, but after facing DK Metcalf and Devontae Adams with their great quarterbacks and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, he kind of takes a step down, step back with Michael Thomas and Taysom Hill because they're not going to connect as many times as Drew Brees would. So I think Darius Slay, Michael Thomas operates out of the slot more often than not, but Darius Slay has to follow him because he's the best receiver on the team. You have to follow him the entire game. But anyways, I think Slay has a great opportunity to bounce back here and prove his worth with the team. But other than that, I think the Eagles just need to keep it tight, play some man coverage, force Taysom Hill to take a chance down the field. Even if they connect on a long ball, I'd much rather see that than Taysom Hill gain confidence, because if that happens, the Eagles won't have a chance to win this game.
I stand corrected. I said Roquan Smith, that's the linebacker for the Chicago Bears. The wide receiver for the Saints, his name is Traquan Smith. I stand corrected on that one, but good analysis on that one right there. Now let's switch over to the other side of the ball, the Eagles' offense going up against that Saints' defense. And let's be real, Matt, the Saints' defense is currently number one in the league right now. We talked about running backs with Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. Teams have not been able to run the ball against that Saints' defense, particularly that Saints defensive line, which has been underrated with Cam Jordan and David Onyemata and also Trey Hendrickson. Just give me your thoughts on what the Eagles need to do as far as running the ball against the Saints defense.
Yeah, running the ball is going to be tough. I think you have to lean on it, even if there's some struggles, because you have some great runners on this team, and you're adding Jalen Hurts to the mix, because the read option is going to be deadly now. Because now you have to account for either Miles Sanders or Jalen Hurts running the ball. You can't, you know, defend both of them at the same time. You can't have these defensive ends bumping out to try to contain both. So I think the read option is definitely going to be a very viable option for the Eagles. Miles Sanders, you just have to give him the opportunity to touch the ball. You can't give him another game with 10 carries because you're not putting your team into the opportunity to succeed. I think this is a very difficult matchup because it's going to be tough to get the running game going. However, it's going to be so essential to get that going in order for Jalen Hurts to succeed. He's a rookie quarterback, his rookie debut as a starter against a very good defense. You need to take the pressure off of him and not force him to go out and throw 35 passes. So even if it struggles, find ways to, you know, move these athletic offensive linemen around and get them to create some holes for the running back and let Miles Sanders break free for a big run.
Let's stay with the offense for a moment. Jalen Hurts, this is going to be his first career NFL start. And when he has opportunities to pass the ball, now, granted, Malcolm Jenkins, who's a former Eagle, he knows the franchise very well. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be ready to play. But lately, the Saints have had issues with injuries in the secondary with Marshawn Lattimore, also Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, also Janoris Jenkins has been hurt. So with those injuries happening in the Saints secondary, do you think Jalen will be able to get, I won't say have big numbers, but do you think he'll be able to make things happen and get Goddard and Ertz and Rodgers and those receivers involved in the passing game?
Absolutely. It frustrates me a lot when people look at Jalen Hurts as just a running quarterback because people neglect to remember that he led a very good Alabama football team and a very good Oklahoma team. He was a very good quarterback. He wasn't looked at as a running back at those two schools. So he's a phenomenal passer. He can throw the deep ball very well. He's a better passer than Taysom Hill, I'll tell you that. So I think that he has an opportunity to just show the world what he has. And if he throws an interception, so be it. Let him get comfortable with the offense. And to Doug Peterson, I really, really hope that he opens the entire playbook for him. Don't try to simplify things just because Jalen Hurts is a rookie quarterback. He has all the talent in the world. Yes, there are some weaknesses to his game, but he's only going to improve if he can go out there and work on them. So I think you have to make sure. I think, like you said, those tight ends, the first quarter we're probably going to see Jalen Hurts rely on the tight ends heavily. Dallas Goedert is going to have a big game against the Saints going forward. The second, third, fourth quarter, if Hurts is getting more confidence, we're going to see that connection like he had with Jalen Reagor, a 30-yard pass down the field. So I'm hoping that Hurts can get more confident and Doug Peterson will let him throw the ball because he has a great deep ball and I really want to see this.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something interesting to see Jalen Hurts in his first career start. So that's the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the New Orleans Saints. That's this weekend as America's Game of the Week on Fox. Now, before I let you go, Matt, you mentioned about Doug Peterson, your opinion that he may not be back in 2021. Let's just say if Doug Peterson does not return as the Philadelphia Eagles head coach in 2021, do you think Eric Bieniemy may be good for the Eagles, or do you think there are any other coaches that would be happy to be the coach of Philadelphia?
Absolutely. Bieniemy is the top of my list right now. He has been, you know, stripped of many opportunities from him. Last year he got some interviews, but zero offers for a head coaching job. And that's just amazing to me. He is such a talented coach. He is leading one of the best offenses in the entire league for the past couple of seasons, and nobody's taken the opportunity to get him. I think his name is definitely more popular in the league now, and he's probably going to get some more looks. But, you know, it's a similar offense. It's a West Coast-style offense like the Chiefs run with Andy Reid. So I think he would definitely transition very well here with the Eagles and utilize these players much better than Doug Peterson. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I think Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, definitely has to make a decision to get rid of Doug Peterson, because if you don't, you're setting your franchise back for a couple of years if you keep him around, because we've seen that he might be a good coach for leadership and culture, but he is just not a good play caller, and that is being exposed in 2020.
Let's stay with play calling for a moment. We've seen Carson Wentz regress. Do you, Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator during the Super Bowl year for the Eagles, and now is the head coach having success with the Indianapolis Colts, do you think with Frank Reich going to Indianapolis, and I think you could correct me if I'm wrong, John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach for the Eagles, do you think that had something to do with Carson's regression, or do you think, like you said, Doug Peterson is a good coach in terms of leadership and culture, but he's just not a good play caller?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. So Doug Peterson, just to correct this from any fans out there, Doug Peterson was still the play caller when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. You know, Frank Reich, the offensive coordinator, was a great offensive mind. John DeFilippo did a great job developing Carson Wentz. But something Doug Peterson said, you know, he had an autobiography after he won the Super Bowl, and he went into the process of this game planning. And he was the one that made the ultimate decisions on game day to call the plays. But all these offensive minds were contributing to him. They were in his office saying, let's run this. Let's get this player involved. So the fact that they had so many great minds like Reich, like DeFilippo, it helped them so much, because then on game day, Doug Peterson is like, okay, let me try this. Now it seems like Doug Peterson's run the entire show. He's the head coach. He's the play caller. He's the offensive coordinator. He doesn't have somebody to his right side saying, hey, let's do this. There are some different coaches in the coaching staff, like Deuce Staley, the running back coach and assistant to the head coach. But as we've seen, the offense is flat. So I think that falls a lot on Doug Peterson and his inability to, you know, adapt and innovate on this offense. So they're definitely missing those coaches, and they need to overhaul this entire coaching staff next year.
All right, well, Matt, great job, and thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what you do as the host of the Birds Banter podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like Ed said, I'm the host of the Birds Banter podcast. We release podcasts every single Wednesday on any podcast platform. My vision for the podcast is not to hop behind a mic and just scream my head off for 30 minutes to an hour and talk about how bad the Eagles are. I want to look at it from an analytical standpoint like I have today with Ed. Definitely appreciate this kind of conversation more than just bashing Carson Wentz. I want to look at it from a football standpoint. So that's what we do. We bring on guests every single week. And I've had a player on in the past, Eagles running back Boston Scott. So there's been a lot of success with the podcast. Looking forward to developing it more. So, yeah, thank you for having me on. I definitely enjoyed this.
Thank you so much for being on once again. I definitely enjoyed this as well, man. So real quickly, tell everybody, where can they find the Birds Banter podcast on social media? If you have a website for that podcast, let them know that as well. And also, where can they find you on social media? And if you have a website, let them know that as well.
For sure. So Birds Banter podcast, like I said, any podcast platform you can listen to us. New podcast came out today, actually. You can find us on Instagram, Birds Banter PHL, and on Twitter, Birds Banter, and we're presented by PHLSportsNation.com. So you can check out that website for all the Birds Banter information, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt_Loopy.
You heard it from him. He is Matt Loopy. He is the host of the Birds Banter podcast, dedicated to all things Philadelphia Eagles. Check them out on those various platforms, and also check them out on Twitter at Birds Banter. PHL at Twitter. Matt, thank you so much for being on the program, and if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Thanks, Ed. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you, and we'll be back with more right after this.
To the end zone. Touchdown! Jalen Hurts' first touchdown pass goes to Greg Ward.
Well, this is outstanding. You have to. 4th and 18. It's the same as like the end of the game where you have one shot in the 20 or 30 yard line. You got to move around and buy time so your receivers can get down the field. And once you do that and get there, now you just look off and what a perfect soft throw right over the top of it.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com. As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
At Vision for Less, it's just the right price. Two pairs of glasses start under $40, and two pairs of progressives start under $80. Using insurance? We accept over 1,000 plans, and using your benefits is as easy as 1, 2, 3. No insurance? No problem. We've got glasses to fit your budget. It's just the right price. Only at Vision for Less. Right glasses, right price, right now.
Between prepping ingredients, setting the table, and planning your tomorrow, sometimes you need an extra hand with dinner. Delta Faucet is here to help. Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot with Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology and fill it with the perfect amount of water. Done. Visit deltafaucet.com/voiceIQ to see how Voice IQ can fill your dog's bowl, wash your hands, and more.
Whether you host a nightly dinner party for 2 or 5, keeping your eating and dining area clean helps keep your mind on the dinner party and not on the cleanup afterwards. Viva paper towels clean like cloth, trapping splatters and sauces that could become countertop stains or stuck on messes. And they're 2 times more durable when wet compared to the leading value brand. For an exceptional cloth-like paper towel, there's Viva. Visit vivatowels.com to soak up the clean feeling of home.
Who are you texting?
My therapist.
You text with your therapist?
Text, video chat, call.
That sounds too easy. How did you find her?
I just went to betterhelp.com/save. She's a licensed therapist and it's all online. I connect when it's convenient for me and don't waste time driving anywhere. Plus, it's affordable.
I wonder if I should try it.
It's great to talk to someone in confidence. She's helped me sort out quite a few things. And right now you save 10% off the first month when you go through betterhelp.com/save.
Betterhelp.com/save. Got it.
There are a lot of testing options out there, but no one has processed more COVID-19 tests than Quest, with over 20 million to date. And now you can get the same tests hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's experience and accuracy you can trust from Quest, the largest medical testing lab in the country. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com.
Whether you're moving in together for the first time,
this can be your closet,
or you're a new parent to a little fur baby, Viva paper towels can help you maintain a clean home. They're 2 times more durable when wet compared to the leading value brand. So they clean like cloth, helping you pick up after your new pet in your new home. For an exceptional cloth-like clean, use Viva towels. Visit vivatowels.com to learn more and start fresh with a clean feeling of home. Whether you host a nightly dinner party for 2 or 5, keeping your eating and dining area clean helps keep your mind on the dinner party and not on the cleanup afterwards. Viva paper towels clean like cloth, trapping splatters and sauces that could become countertop stains or stuck on messes. And they're 2 times more durable when wet compared to the leading value brand. For an exceptional cloth-like paper towel, there's Viva. Visit vivatowels.com to soak up the clean feeling of home.
Need an extra hand with dinner? Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot, and Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology will fill it with the perfect amount of water. Visit deltafaucet.com/voiceIQ to discover more.
At Jewelers Mutual, we're a little obsessed with jewelry. Obsessed like auctioneers with talking fast.
50, we're going to fit.
Pop stars with auto-tune.
Yeah.
And dentists with asking questions.
So, how did he propose?
After they've put their hands in your mouth.
What? Great.
Yes, we've made jewelry our obsession for over 100 years. We love it so much, we named our kids Ruby, Amber, and Opal.
Venti soy latte for Opal?
At Jewelers Mutual, we insure jewelry and only jewelry, which is why people who are also obsessed with jewelry trust us with theirs.
There are a lot of testing options out there, but no one has processed more COVID-19 tests than Quest, with over 20 million to date. And now you can get the same tests hospitals use without a doctor visit.
Simply order online, select from drive-through or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's experience and accuracy you can trust from Quest, the largest medical testing lab in the country. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com.
As a pro, the last thing you need is to run out of what you need. And time spent waiting on supply runs is money right out of your pocket. The good news is the Home Depot can deliver straight to the job site. That keeps your crews on the job, not the road. And that saves you money, putting time back in your day and savings back where they belong. Delivery options, big, small, right to the job site. Whenever you say, visit homedepot.com/delivery. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Between prepping ingredients, setting the table, and planning your tomorrow, sometimes you need an extra hand with dinner. Delta Faucet is here to help. Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot with Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology and fill it with the perfect amount of water. Done. Visit DeltaFaucet.com/VoiceIQ to see how Voice IQ can fill your dog's bowl, wash your hands, and more.
Whether you host a nightly dinner party for two or five, keeping your eating and dining area clean helps keep your mind on the dinner party and not on the cleanup afterwards. Viva paper towels clean like cloth, trapping splatters and sauces that could become countertop stains or stuck on messes. And they're two times more durable when wet compared to the leading value brand. For an exceptional cloth-like paper towel, there's Viva. Visit vivatowels.com to soak up the clean feeling of home.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-through or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com. As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-through or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Want to say a big special thank you once again to Matt Luby, who is the host of the Birds Banter podcast, and he's also a contributor to Eagles Nation. Once again, a big special thank you to him for giving us his expertise on everything going on right now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, check him out at Birds Banter podcast, and also, again, he's a contributor to Eagles Nation. So, again, thank you to him. All right, now let's get right to this week's most important games. Let's start with tonight's game. We got a good one on Thursday Night Football between the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. The Patriots pulled off a dominating performance against the Los Angeles Chargers. Cam Newton was effective defensively. The Patriots played well, but give it up to special teams. Kickoff return, punt returns, they did their thing, scoring touchdowns, and it was exciting. It was exciting to see the Patriots have a dominant performance for once during this 2020 NFL season. They're going up against a team that they got retribution. They beat a division rival last week with the LA Rams beating the Arizona Cardinals 38-28. The week before that, they lost a tough game to the Seattle Seahawks, but the Rams seem to be back on track right now. And this is going to be an important game for both teams, but I think this is going to be extremely important for the Rams because, again, in that tough NFC West division, Seattle still has something to say. Also, you've got Arizona, they're still in the mix. They're still in the thick of things, and we can't count San Francisco out either. They still have something to say despite the injuries to key players at key positions. They still have an opportunity to try to make a run the remainder of the regular season. So the Rams defensively they're on point. They've been on point this year. Offensively, they're nice with Jared Goff. That running combination's really good with Cam Akers and Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson. So the Patriots are going to have their hands full against a team that's been consistent on both sides of the ball. Thursday night football tonight between New England and the Los Angeles Rams is going to be a good game. Next game we're going to talk about briefly is the Minnesota Vikings and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Minnesota, impressive victory. Again, Minnesota, they've got a Kirk Cousins. He's been playing some great ball as of late. They had a thumper behind win. Well, actually, they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in overtime, 27-24. And then we can't forget about the game that they won the week before against the Carolina Panthers. So the Vikings are clicking right now, and they are peaking at the right time right now. As I mentioned with Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook has played well. But what about the receivers? Adam Thielen, also you can't forget about B.C. Johnson, and you've got Irv Smith Jr., but Justin Jefferson, man, Justin Jefferson is definitely a candidate to win the league rookie of the year. He has played very well this year, but these last several weeks, he has really, really balled out. And so the Vikings, they've got Jefferson, they've got Cousins, they've got the chef, Dalvin Cook, going up against a team that had a bye week the last week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the week before that, the Buccaneers lost a tough one to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to have their hands full against a team like the Minnesota Vikings. Tom Brady, with a bye week, help him and the offense gel a little bit with the rest that they had going up against a team with a defense that has peaked as of late with the Minnesota Vikings. Harrison Smith has played nicely. So, you know, the Bucs had the bye week to kind of think about things. And the Bucs, they're going to have to win out the rest of the way because, again, they're chasing New Orleans for that NFC South lead. The chances are looking very slim right now for them to win the division, but they're going to have to win out the rest of the way. But they've got a tough opponent going up against the Minnesota Vikings. Going to be an exciting game down in Tampa between the Vikings and the Buccaneers. Next game is going to be very exciting between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins down in Miami. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, what can you say about Kansas City? Not just him, but just Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, Le'Veon Bell, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is expected to be healthy for this game as the Chiefs prepare to go down to South Florida to play the Miami Dolphins. Defensively, Kansas City's picked it up late with Tyrann Mathieu. Also, you got Chris Jones and others. So it's going to be interesting. They've got an interesting task. Defensively, they've got an interesting task going up against a very good Miami Dolphins team. Again, Tua is expected to be playing in this game. Tua has been pretty good as of late. Again, he came back from the foot injury that he had, and so right now he's looking pretty well. Right now they're running the ball pretty well with Myles Gaskin. Also, receiving wise, Devontae Parker's been solid. Jakeem Grant's been good. Mike Gesicki, he's come out of nowhere this year, but he's played so well. And defensively, Miami has looked nice, but Miami's been, despite with having Tua, they are under the radar this year. But I think that's how head coach Brian Flores likes it. I mean, after all, he is a candidate for the league coach of the year. This should be an exciting game. I think it's going to be a fun game between the Chiefs and the Dolphins. It's good to see Miami winning again because that always adds an element to surprise. I mean, Miami stayed a consistent winner during the 80s up into the mid-90s during the Dan Marino era. So it's good to see Miami being involved in some meaningful games. And by the way, they currently hold a wild card spot, so they're going to be going up against the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. Next game that we have is going to be a good one at the New Jersey Meadowlands between the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Giants. The Cardinals lost a tough game last week to division rival Los Angeles Rams. They're looking to head to New Jersey, or head to East Rutherford to be exact, to exact revenge, to get revenge, to stay ahead in that NFC wild card race against the New York Football Giants. The Giants, as I stated at the beginning of the show, they are balling right now. They're running the ball well. Wayne Goldman has been effective in the absence of Saquon Barkley being out, being done for the year. He got hurt early in the year in that game against the Chicago Bears. Goldman has filled in nicely, not just running the ball, but receiving the ball as well. Quarterback position, Colt McCoy did his part. He did enough to keep them in the game. But defensively, the Giants have been playing some extremely great ball on the defensive side. They have been great, and they hope to continue that momentum against a quarterback that has been effective running and throwing the ball with Kyler Murray. Should be an interesting game between the Cardinals and the Giants in East Rutherford at the New Jersey Meadowlands. The next game that I have is going to be a great one. I think it's going to be a great one between the Washington football team and the San Francisco 49ers. Washington football team, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, last 2 weeks, they played great ball. Alex Smith has been effective. That tight end Logan Thomas has been great. I love the running game with J.D. McKissic, Peyton Barber, also Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson deserves to be in there for the league rookie of the year. I threw Justin Jefferson in there. You can put Antonio Gibson in the mix as well. So while Washington is playing well offensively, defensively, they haven't been any slouches either. They have played so well on the defensive line, and linebackers in the secondary plays picked it up as well. They're going up against a team that lost a tough one on Monday night in the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers, again, this is their second home game in Arizona due to COVID-19 restrictions on sports, on full contact sports in several counties in the Bay Area. So San Francisco's got a lot to play for. They're going to be away from their home temporarily, losing the game on Monday night to Buffalo. Washington's on a high right now. San Francisco's got to get it together, and they may get Jimmy G back. Jimmy G could be back soon. George Kittle could be back soon. But they're going to need him for this game against Washington, because Washington has just been on fire right now, and this is going to be an exciting game between Washington and San Francisco. Next game, of course, is going to be the New Orleans Saints going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Saints, top defense in the league. Taysom Hill, unconventional as a quarterback, but he's making plays happen with his athletic ability. It's almost like a situation for us offensively for the Saints that they're making things happen when they can. The last 2 weeks that Taysom has been a starting quarterback, they've played against teams that Denver and Atlanta. Defensively, they've been horrible this year, but you still got to go out and get the job done. And Taysom has gotten the job done. He started off slow, but again, his athletic ability bails him out, and he's able to get the job done with the Saints winning those last two games. Saints offensively, they're licking their chops, but I know the Saints defense are definitely licking their chops with the likes of DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, Alex Anzalone, David Onyemata and company. They're going to be feasting on a rookie quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who will make his first career NFL start. Jalen, we've seen flashes of him. We saw flashes of him in last week's game against the Green Bay Packers. It was promising, but he's got to finish a whole game. What does he look like playing a full NFL game? We'll find out this weekend. I think it's going to be a close one in Philly between the Saints and the Eagles. Should be exciting. Sunday night game is going to be a great one between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Buffalo Bills. This game could be a possible determining factor in who either becomes the number one seed or the number two seed in the AFC. Let's start off with the Pittsburgh Steelers losing their first game of the season against the Washington football team. You know, Rick Sincere he said that the Steelers could be had, and they were had. They were had in the game against Washington, losing their first game of the year, and the game before that, even though they beat Baltimore, there were signs of them slacking off. There were signs of the offense not doing their job. Defensively, there were some chinks in the armor. It's been chinks in the armor with injuries such as the likes of Bud Dupree suffering a torn ACL. So Pittsburgh is going to one of the toughest places to play in the NFL, especially in December, up in Orchard Park, New York, in western New York outside of Buffalo. Buffalo, tough physical team. Josh Allen, only in his third year in the league, but he's been effective. He's been great for that team. Stephon Diggs, Buffalo got the best deal of the 2020 NFL season when Minnesota traded Stephon Diggs to the Buffalo Bills. That enhanced Buffalo's offense even more. with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, also John Brown, Cole Beasley, and just a host of others who just played some great ball. Give credit to the tight end Dawson Knox and that nice offensive line that Buffalo has defensively. They make plays with Ed Oliver, Star Latulale. Also, you've got a Tre'Davious White. And just, I mean, Buffalo all around. Buffalo is a team that's definitely been underrated the last couple of years, and they can make noise and introduce the Sunday night audience to their team and what they bring to the table. Remember when the Bills and the Steelers played last year on Sunday Night Football, that was a stunning finish in Pittsburgh when Buffalo would win by a field goal. So this should be a very, very exciting game. And Monday night, the old Browns versus the new Browns. The Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns. Baltimore going through their issues the last several weeks with COVID-19 restrictions. For the moment, they kind of seem to have it together. The recent case with Dez Bryant testing positive. The Ravens, however, would go on to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Lamar Jackson looks healthy. He looked effective in this game, being athletic as ever and making plays with his arm when necessary. So Baltimore seems to be pretty good right now offensively, defensively. They're playing very well right now, and they've got to go to a team that they have it together this year with first-year head coach Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield's been nice. Jarvis Landry's been nice. Offensively, they have been very nice with one of the best running back tandems in the league, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Those two have been outstanding and have been kind of like really the main key to Cleveland's success this year. That running attack has been so good, and defensively they've been nice with the likes of Myles Garrett and a host of others. So Cleveland's been great. Cleveland gets a Monday night game at the Dog Pound. Very excited. It's always great to see Baltimore and Cleveland play against each other again. It is fun. The games in the past have been fun to watch, and this game is going to be fun to watch on Monday night. Coming up after the break, I have my game of the week. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
There are a lot of testing options out there, but no one has processed more COVID-19 tests than Quest, with over 20 million to date. And now you can get the same tests hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-through or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's experience and accuracy you can trust from Quest, the largest medical testing lab in the country. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. There are a lot of testing options out there, but no one has processed more COVID-19 tests than Quest, with over 20 million to date. And now you can get the same tests hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-through or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's experience and accuracy you can trust from Quest, the largest medical testing lab in the country. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Finished a load of laundry, dropped the kids off at daycare, hit the gym for a quick workout, stopped by Mickey D's to grab some breakfast, got to work before my boss did, and it's only 9 a.m. meal.
There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg or a classic bacon egg and cheese biscuit for only $2 each. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
right, everybody, welcome back. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be an exciting one, I believe, between the Washington football team and the San Francisco 49ers. Let's start off with the Washington football team for a moment and the quarterback situation. I was so excited at the beginning of the year when I found out that Dwayne Haskins was going to be the starting quarterback. I was so excited. I said, yes, this is the future. This is the guy that they need to roll with at least for the next 3 to 5 years and see where this thing goes. Well, unfortunately, it didn't last that long. He only lasted maybe a few games when the coaching staff made a decision to bench him and have Kyle Allen as the starting quarterback. I was upset. I was stark raving mad behind it because I had such high hopes for Dwayne Haskins. But, hey, I don't coach the team. I'm just a journalist. I'm just a interviewer, a host, and things of that nature. But, nevertheless, Dwayne Haskins was benched in favor of Kyle Allen. Offense operated in spurts. Long story short, the Giants game comes about. Kyle Allen gets injured. In comes one of my favorite players, Alex Smith. Been following Alex since 2005 when he was drafted out of Utah by the San Francisco 49ers. And just, you know, the first several years, well, actually maybe the first 4 or 5 years of his career in San Francisco were tough. Going from one head coach to the next, offensive coordinators. It was just a whirlwind of things that were just happening. Finally, his last several years in San Francisco, he got it together, got him to be consistent. Then he gets hurt. In comes Colin Kaepernick. After that, he's no longer the starting quarterback. He's traded to Kansas City, does some solid things with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then he's traded to Washington. And I was like, man, Alex Smith going to Washington, this should be big things. And just as momentum was picking up for Alex in Washington 2 years ago, suffered that devastating knee injury, suffering that devastating injury in the game against the Houston Texans. And Alex Smith had to wait 2 years for his chance to play in an NFL game. And this year, he got his chance. Kyle Allen suffered an injury. Alex comes in, and Alex has played some nice ball. Now, granted, the game before the Thanksgiving game against the Dallas Cowboys was not that great. The game against Cincinnati, they wound up losing that game. But nevertheless, the last two games would prove to be monumental for Alex. Beating Dallas easily on Thanksgiving Day and then stopping the undefeated streak of the Pittsburgh Steelers, beating the Steelers in convincing fashion, not just credit to him, but also to his whole team, from the running game, his receivers, his tight end, defense. Boy, Washington's defense has been so underrated this year with Chase Young, Ryan Kerrigan, also Montez Sweat, and Deron Payne, and a host of others, man. Well, Washington as a team right now, yeah, they have it. They play in the worst division in the league this year with the NFC East, but you have to give credit where credit is due. Washington, as of right now, they seem like a phoenix. They're rising from the ashes right now. So Alex Smith coming off of a gruesome injury, and thank God for how sports medicine has evolved, and thank God for how technology has advanced and has gotten so much better since the days when Joe Theismann suffered his injury, Kevin Ware suffered his injury, basketball player at the University of Cincinnati. So with Smith suffering that leg injury, I say it was a knee injury, I stand corrected, forgive me on that one. With him suffering that leg injury, a lot of people said Alex Smith was not going to return. I thought Alex Smith was going to come back, and my response was simple. I saw it as an opportunity for him to come back because I saw technology advancing. I saw progress being made, and he's made progress, and so has the Washington football team, and they're going to continue that progress heading to – well, I can't say Santa Clara, but they're going to head to the desert, head to Arizona to play the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are still in the mix in the NFC West and in the wild card race, but they're running out of time. They're going to have to win out the rest of the way to even be considered for a playoff spot. Granted, Nick Mullins has been okay in the absence of Jimmy G, but the 49ers have been hit hard by injuries this year. When Nick Bosa suffered his season-ending injury, when Solomon Thomas got hurt, Richard Sherman got hurt, Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, George Kittle got hurt. There were so many injuries on that 49ers team. And it's shown this year, the injuries and the all of that adds up. It doesn't add up in winning games. Now, they're a team that can compete. They always come ready to compete. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough the rest of the way, and it's going to be tough in this weekend's game against the Washington football team. One team is riding high right now on the roller coaster. One team has been going down and is continuing to go down. But they have a chance to compete. But this should be an exciting game. I think this is going to be a very close game. This is going to be a physical game with defense and a whole lot of running game in this. I think the quarterbacks, Alex Smith and Nick Mullins, will do enough to try to get their teams ahead in the contest. But I think this is going to be a showcase of both teams with running games and defense. It's going to be a good game. Washington football team versus the San Francisco 49ers, my game of the week. Coming up next, I'll have my picks for Week 14's most important games, and we'll wrap up the show. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
This holiday season, it's all about the bedroom. And Casper's Black Friday sale has up to 30% off everything you need to make your bedroom your happy place. Only Casper mattresses are made with 86 supportive gel pods to align your spine and eliminate aches and pains. And Casper bed frames are made from the highest quality materials. Give the gift of a better bedroom. Save up to 30% during Casper's Black Friday sale on now at Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms for more details.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-through or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
A head to toe. Everything's changed. Head to toe.
There are a lot of testing options out there, but no one has processed more COVID-19 tests than Quest, with over 20 million to date. And now you can get the same tests hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's experience and accuracy you can trust from Quest, the largest medical testing lab in the country. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. All right, before we close the show on this week, I just want to give my picks for Week 14's most important games. So let's start off with tonight's Thursday night football game between the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. This is going to be a close game, a physical game, but I like the Rams to beat the Patriots. Next game, the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's going to be a close game, but I like the Vikings to continue the momentum by beating the Buccaneers. The Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Miami Dolphins. I think it's going to be a great game. Exciting game between two young quarterbacks with Patrick Mahomes and Tua Tagovailoa, but I think the Chiefs, just too much momentum. I like Kansas City to win that game. In the New Jersey Meadowlands at East Rutherford between the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Giants. The Giants definitely riding a high right now, but for some reason I see Kyler Murray having a comeback game and beating down on the Giants defense. I like Arizona to win that game. My game of the week between the Washington football team against the San Francisco 49ers. Going to be a good game, a very close game. It's really going to highlight both teams' running games and their defense. But I like the Washington football team to win in a close one by beating San Francisco. The New Orleans Saints going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, this is going to be a close game. This is going to be a very exciting game. But I think this is going to come down to a field goal. I like the Saints to beat the Eagles in a close one. Sunday night, the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Buffalo Bills. Pittsburgh going up to Western New York to try to handle their business and try to stay afloat at the top of the AFC race to maintain the number one seed. But I see Buffalo just handling the Steelers, man. This is going to be a great game. It's going to be physical. It's going to be close, but I like the Buffalo Bills to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Monday night, the Baltimore Ravens versus the Cleveland Browns. This is going to be a great game. This is going to be an exciting game with Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, the running duo with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. This is going to be a great game. I think Baltimore is going to bring it. Baltimore is going to give all they have, but I think Cleveland is just a more balanced team on the offensive side. I like the Cleveland Browns to beat the Baltimore Ravens. So, once again, here are my winners for this week's most important games. I like the LA Rams. I like the Minnesota Vikings. I like the Kansas City Chiefs. I like the Arizona Cardinals. I like the Washington football team. I like the New Orleans Saints. I like the Buffalo Bills. And I like the Cleveland Browns. There you have it. Those are my picks for Week 14's most important games in the National Football League. Before we go, again, I want to say a big special thank you to Matt Loopy for this week's interview. Matt is the host of the Birds Banter podcast and a contributor to Eagles Nation. That's going to do it for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. I'm your host, Ed Robinson, and thanks again for tuning in. And I hope to get a chance to talk to you again next week right here for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. So long, everyone.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.